This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 339. We're into the second film into the Star Trek franchise. We're out to Star Trek Into Darkness from 2013. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Into Darkness?
Well, kind of like the first movie. I definitely saw Into Darkness more than once at the theater. I think I went a couple of times. I like these movies. I don't know. I went a couple of times when this came out, but I have not watched it in a while. Like when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh, it's been a minute since I've seen this movie. So I don't know. I will say, when did this come out?
2013.
It's been at least 5 or 6 years since I've seen this movie. It's been a little minute.
So I saw this once in the theater with my wife, and then I did not like, there's certain things about this movie that got me so angry.
Ooh, okay.
And I was just like, I cannot see this. Like, I didn't go back to it and watch it. I did purchase it on 4K. I did get it on Blu-ray, and I got like the special gun that flips and all this. And I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't put it back on. And there was things about it that irked me, and I cursed that J.J. Abrams and all that jazz. But we'll talk about it.
Well, this is going to be a good review because you're a big Star Trek fan before this movie. And this was the second Star Trek movie I'd ever seen in a theater. So we have totally different takes, I think, coming up.
It's going to be different takes, but you know what? This might be the first time that we do in this podcast that I got the Bruce Brothers moment, man.
Ooh.
Where you remember they in church
and the
light hits him and he goes, I see the light. Ooh. I got that moment watching this movie. And I was like, I can't wait to talk about
it's
it. But let's get right into it. Let's talk about it with the critics and the audience. Let's get there first. And then we'll go to some financials and then we'll go right to the review. So,
okay.
Nate, hit us with the damn Rotten Tomatoes scores for the critics and the audience.
Well, they're still good. They are down from the first movie, but they're still really good. This is a franchise that all three of these are very good. Reminds me of when we did Bourne, when the first three were all like super high. I mean, this has an 84% critics, which is down 10%, but 84 is still very high for a sci-fi action movie like this. But the audience score only took a very tiny dip of 2%. So it's still an 89. So the first one was a 91. This one's an 89. Audiences, it's almost the same. And the critics, a small dip, but I mean, still very good.
I like those numbers. It took a little dip, but I like those numbers. But guess what? We're talking about numbers. It's time to talk about some money.
Ooh,
right? Wow. Financially, how does the sequel do? Right? Because every time we talk about the sequel, it takes a dip. A lot of people don't like it. They're like, wait a minute.
And you were disappointed with the first movie's box.
I was. Because it didn't do well. I mean, how good it was, we gave it 24s across the board. Everyone says it was great, but it wasn't even that good financially. Did the sequel succeed where the first one didn't? Yes, it did.
Ooh,
Let me tell you, Nate, they gave this a whopping budget of $190 million. They signed it. They said, we got my man Cumberbatch as Khan. We're going to do it, right? The audience sucked it in because this movie made $467 million at the box office, exceeding the first, becoming the highest paid movie in the franchise, in the two film franchise right now. So, Nate, what do you think?
I bet it's one of the highest, if not the highest, in the whole franchise.
Could be.
I would wager. Yeah. I mean, those other ones definitely came out in a time when, you know, it was different. But still, I bet even for inflation, I bet you this is one of the highest. Yeah, that's impressive. I could see it because you know why? I think the first movie came out, it did okay, right? It did good enough to make a sequel, so it did okay. But I think people saw it at home and were like, this movie's good. So when the sequel came out, you had all the people returning who saw it at the theater, plus the people who caught it at home. And maybe that's why it increased.
Yeah. And knowing when you see the trailers, you get to see who the new villain is. People like, oh.
I remember it was a mystery at the time.
They weren't
revealing the name.
John Harrison. Who's John Harrison? And people were like, I remember who, I didn't know who the hell it was. Right. Even knowing Star Trek, I was like, man, I remember saying to everybody, I hope he's not Khan. Because I'm like, it had to be someone, and I always told people it had to be like Antonio Banderas as Khan. Like, I always told me it had to be a thick Spanish dude to play Khan. Well, I mean, I was right, but I was 10 times wrong on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of it, I kind of liked it. They play the mystery bug on everybody. Fine. They made the money back by a lot. So I'm happy with that. Now, let's get into this review. Because I really want to talk about it. It was fun watching it again. So, and then the 4K, you got the IMAX aspect ratio.
This movie looks better than the first movie.
It does look better. I agree with you on that. Good,
but this looks better.
Yeah, it does. 100 times. Okay, here we go. Lead character. Everyone's back.
Everyone's back.
Take it away.
Guess what? They're still great. Everyone's still great. And you know what? We gave him a 5 last time. I'm not coming off my 5 here. And what I like about it is not only is everyone returned and not only do they all play their parts just as good as the first movie, but now they literally all have new wrinkles. Like, you could go character by character and there's something going on. Kirk gets the ship. He has all that stuff. And then at the beginning of this movie, right away, he gets it taken away because he does this bonehead thing and lets the white crusty guy see him in the ship and they start worshiping the ship and drawing it. And then, you know, Pike has to take away the ship. He gets demoted. Like, that's how you do. This is how you make great characters. You make a first movie. They go through some trials. They end the movie on top. And right away in the next one, he's screwing up. He's not just one of those. He's not a superhero. Like, just always perfect. But it gives him an obstacle to overcome. Then they give him a revenge story on top of that. So Kirk, awesome in this. Spock, awesome in this. They dive more into their relationship. Their friendship grows throughout the movie. But we'll talk about more later in the story. Great. Then you have Uhura and him. Now they hate. They're having a fight because he wanted to die in a volcano. Gives her something to do other than just be the language lady. You know what I mean? Sulu gets to be the captain. He gets to sit in the chair. Chekhov has to become the new guy.
Engineer.
The engineer. He has to leave. He's like, doesn't know how to do all this stuff, but he's trying his best. And actually, Scotty gets a really great role. And I think Scotty got an upgraded part from the first movie. I love the scene when he's like resigning and you could tell he doesn't think he's going to accept it. And when he does, he like is like sad. I love it. I think you know what? 5 out of 5. Everyone's great. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. 5 out of 5. Everyone is so, everyone's story did develop way better. They did get upgraded in all aspects. Favorite part is in the beginning when they both went into the Admiral Christopher Pike's room and he was like, Kurt, did you actually go in and let some other civilization see the ship? And he goes, no, I did not do that. And then he goes, well, in Spock's thing, he goes, you tattletailed on me? I thought you was going to tell him. I thought that whole thing was so genius. And he goes, Spock, do you understand what you did? And he was just like, he goes, I miss you. And then he waited. Then he went, and then he just walked away. Yep. I love those stuff. I love those bickering. Because it's like, even watching like Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner, like he still had like, he cares for him, but he can't say it because he's a Vulcan. Mm-hmm. So it's like this movie plays on that stuff. And it does towards the end, we get to talk about it. But I think this movie hits on family in terms of the ship. Now, I don't mean like in terms of just Spock and Kirk. I mean, in the entire ship felt like a family, and you saw it here when he was like, when my man RoboCop was just like, you know what? I wasn't gonna let them live anyway. He goes, no. Mm-hmm. It was my fault. He was like, let them live. I'll go down with the ship. And I was just like, and I felt bad when he gave that speech because that's the exact same thing Christopher Pike told him. He goes, you're not taking this chair seriously. He said, until you do, you will get your chair back. And that one moment, he understood what Christopher Pike said. He was like, you're playing blind luck and one day it's gonna catch up. And it did. It caught up with the Admiral, which we'll talk about in the next segment. But I agree with you. I think they did a great job here on the sequel in terms of all the characters. Everyone was well. And we had a new character too, right? The Admiral's daughter.
Marcus. She was, Officer Marcus. Well, and then she used a different name, which was her mother's name, which I forget what it was. Alice Eve is the actress.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. I thought she was a cool thing. And Bones had a cool moment.
A fine addition. Didn't hurt it.
The Bones moment was actually pretty funny when he goes, Bones. Oh, these legendary hands could help you.
Oh, yeah. Bones, I forgot. Bones is great in this too. Yeah. This is the one where he keeps making all these metaphors and Kirk's like, don't do another one. Don't you dare.
I order you not to say another metaphor.
He's so funny in this one.
Yeah.
You love your corn-fed mind?
that's true. It was like every metaphor. Yeah, he was just like, what are you talking? I thought that was funny. But my favorite part is like, you see the relationship with the entire ship is when Bones is going to open up the torpedo with the new lady and he's flirting with her and you see Kurt, Sulu, and all of them are like laughing because they're like, what is he doing? Yeah. He was like, so it was actually Bones. Pretty funny.
You're not slick. Yeah.
You can't go into a Kentucky Derby without lift one leg. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah, so that was actually pretty funny. Okay, so 5 across the board. board here. Okay, main villain here. Now, you got two.
Yeah.
You got Khan slash John, John Harrison. And then you have the Admiral slash RoboCop. So, which is Peter Weller's character.
Yeah, like Admiral Marcus. Yeah. Marcus is the last name.
Yeah, just say okay. Admiral Marcus.
So here's let's get the elephant out of the room here.
Get it out of the room.
Everybody, I remember when this movie came out, everybody was like, this is not Khan. This is Khan. I remember. And you know why I remember? Because I had never even seen Wrath of Khan when this movie came out. I didn't see it till later. So I'm like, I'm not comparing this Khan to anything. I just, this is him. So, but I remember I had friends like, this is not as good. Khan, this is nothing. He hadn't used muscle, no shirt, or whatever. Okay, man. Whatever you say. So, with that being said, I'm approaching this is my con. And at the moment, I love Benedict Cumberbatch in this movie. I love him I think his first of all, his voice is great. He got that deep voice, the British. You know, his voice is much different than Ricardo Montalban, who plays the original Khan, who's good, great villain, by the way, great villain. Not here to trash that one at all because that's a great villain. This is a different take. You break down the idea of what he is. And I'll save that for storyline because there's something that I don't like, but it's not necessarily the villain's fault. I love the backstory. There's these like super soldier people, peacekeepers, but really they will just like kill people if they have to, all this kind of stuff. Love it. They're advanced, which is weird. I'll save that for storyline too. Okay. He's great. I think he's great. He's menacing. You know what I mean? I like the whole little, I'll help you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And they know he's going to turn on them, but they still need, they still got to do it because they got to get rid of this, you know, Marcus guy. So I love all that. And he's kind of like, he's almost like the evil version of Captain Kirk because he's the leader. He got his crew. He loves them. He'll do anything for them. And that's Kirk too, except he's willing to do really bad stuff where Kirk is not. So I love that. For a movie with two villains, I liked him too. I liked him too. I was like, man, you know what? This dude's a real bastard. He wanted to start a war with the Klingons. So he used this guy to make these weapons. Then he tried to frame him, set him up. He's like, y'all are going to go there and shoot him. Shoot all these torpedoes so they freaking blow up a bunch of stuff and start a war. And then like you said that line where he's like, I won't let you guys live anyway. Like he was going to kill these people. He's bad. These are two. I don't know what everyone else is talking about. I think they're two great villains. I gave him a 5. It's way better than Eric Bana in the first movie. And I gave him a 4. So if it's way better, I got to give him a 5.
All right. Yeah. So 5. I gave it a 5 also. So okay. So let's go with Admiral first, with the Admiral, right? I liked him a lot because you didn't see that coming. You cannot tell me that everyone knew this dude was bad. Did not know that. He was sitting in the chair. He was with everybody. Khan was shooting up the place. You didn't know he was bad. He was there for him, really. He was trying to kill him, but everyone's collateral damage. So you're like, holy hell, right? I didn't see it coming. But when it became Bad RoboCop, I said, yo, this dude, I wanted to punch him in the face myself because I was just like, wow. And he didn't give a shit. He was going to blow up the entire thing and make up a story so he could become the savior of this Starfleet, you know, the whole generations thing. And his name could go down in history. That's pretty much the whole thing, his storyline. So I was just like, oh, liked him. I said, you know what? Even watching it now, it still hits hard. And you're like, oh my God. I was like, this is really good. Khan. When I saw this thing in the theater, I was just like your friends. I said, oh no.
This is not my Khan.
Yes. So what did they do? Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, this is not what I wanted. Therefore, on this rewatch, I said, my man Cumberpatch is the dopest Khan. And this is why.
Yeah.
Going there, I guess because, I was younger. Second, I watched I watched the original Star Trek. So I'm more attached to those characters. Not thinking and knowing when watching this one that we're in an alternate timeline. This is not the Khan from the Wrath of Khan era, right? And it's a different personality, but it's the same guy at the end of the day, right? I was just like, okay. And then thinking about it in a modern age Khan, how would he do? He's exactly what Cumberbatch would have done. Like exactly what he did. He was super powered. I mean, this dude was strong. Yep. Loved it. Super, like a specimen of the perfect man, if you really want to think about it. Yep. Some flaws. I got something and Sutton that I want to talk about during storyline. But J.J. Abrams, again, did something that I, again, want to punch him in the face because he destroyed not the nostalgia, but he destroyed the, I don't want to say mythology of Star Trek because he did the same thing with Star Wars. But, and I'll just say here, pretty much taking Khan's blood and making it into a cure and then anyone could just be revived from this blood pretty much takes away the disbelief of death. Because it's like, I understand, we'll talk about it in the storyline, why they had to use it in that sense. But in terms of now, he's going to be frozen. Now, they could just keep making his blood all over the place. And I'm like, ah, oh. And he did the same shit with Star Wars with the force healing. When the hell did it, what force healing was there in Star Wars that you just put your hand over and then you're going to feel the pain? And then again, it's like, it's stupidity like that that annoyed me. But other than that, Khan was a perfect villain. Like a perfect villain. Like he fought the hero. I mean, he fought the hero.
He killed all those Klingons with the two guns.
He killed the Klingon. He killed his own Star Trek people. I mean, the dude, he was snapping necks, cashing checks all over the place.
When he broke that girl's leg?
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Nasty. I loved it. I loved it. I was like, and then he looked Khan. He was like, I'm going to send you to your ship. And the captain goes down with his ship. And I said, oh, and I loved it. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. When you watch this movie, right? I wanted to ask you this. When you watched Into Darkness, right? Did you feel like you were invested in the film again? Like it regenerated you? Like you, like for the watching it for the first time, you're like, holy shit. Like watching these scenes unfold.
100%.
Yeah. Like I felt like I was into the movie again. I was like, yo, this joint is like really good storytelling. Like it's been ages. And I guess that's what writing is about and perfect cast and all this. Because like even watching the first transition into two, Nate, I gotta say it. This might go down the line as the Planet of the Apes. It could be one of the best
trilogy
sequels. Could be, I mean, trilogy. We can't say yet to the third movie, but I mean the first two films.
Yeah.
It has to be one of the perfect 1-2 films back to back.
Yeah.
Because
so far we're at 5 and 5 for the first two categories. Our Patreon, we could always see their scores. Jay gave him a 4. I don't know what Jay's talking about.
He's one of those into the Ricardo.
Come on, I want him with the fake titties with this titty suit.
But well, let's say this before we go into action. Now that you've seen Star Trek: Wrath of Khan, what do you feel between the two characters? Do you feel like, do you understand why people are angry at why Cumberbatch was Khan, or which one do you prefer the best?
No, yeah, I legitimately don't. The only way I could comprehend it is if you, like, in your case, let's say you watched that movie when you were younger, you have nostalgia for it, and you want them to do something similar or make it, because this is a different take. This is a different take. I personally am okay with a different take as long as it's good. And I think this is a very good different take. So, no, I don't understand the, for one, I think you made a great point. This is a different timeline. There's no point in making comparisons. Chris Pine's Jim Kirk is different than William Shatner's. It's different. He has the same spirit, but it's different. He doesn't act it the exact same way. And I'm sure some people were like, this is not Captain Kirk, whatever. But you can't, you know, you can't take everything and be like, let's just make it all like exactly the same as the original. Otherwise, what's the point? Then just watch the originals. So no, I thought this was a great take. I don't quite understand it. I don't think I'll be honest. When I watched Wrath of Khan for the first time, I was like, this is a great villain, but I did not understand the uproar about it personally. I was like, I don't think he's like the greatest cinematic villain of all time or anything. They were acting like Khan is like the greatest screen villain and this is a desecration, and I disagree.
No. Well, the thing is that you saw the movie version.
Yeah.
You didn't
ever
see
him on TV.
You never see the episode that he came on the Enterprise and then he pretty much he pretty much did what he did in this movie. He like helped him and then he flipped the script and took the Enterprise as hostage. And then Kurt and them dropped him off at that planet. And that's why in the movie, Chekhov was like, uh-oh, we're in the planet that we send this doofus to. Yeah. So
I have no idea.
Yeah, so you didn't see like the continuation of that storyline, which is, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, and that's the whole point of these movies. It's supposed to make you into a newer fan, wherever version you like.
And in that regard, this movie doesn't have that. See, that's an advantage. advantage. The original Khan had an advantage. He was on a show episode. You have a backstory. You have a situation where he's now, that's why it's called The Wrath of Khan. He's getting revenge. You don't have that here. This guy doesn't have any pre-existing except that movie, but this is a different version. So if anything, he's working from behind the eight ball, and I thought he was good.
No, you're right. I mean, like I said, this interpretation, you said something absolutely correct. All of these characters from Captain Kirk, Spock, Uhura, Chekhov, Bones, you go all the way down the line, even the villains. These characters all change from the timeline that you saw. So like, for instance, Captain Kirk would not be this rebel that you see here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Spock will be the same Spock, but a little bit different from what he was.
A little more chill in the old ones. A little bit more chill. This one's a little more, he got a little more spice to it.
Yeah. So anyway, with that said, okay, five across the board here too.
Don't let the nostalgia get you. Watch it for what it is.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. Okay, I already know where you're going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Action.
Come on. Listen, this movie got, first of all, it got more action than the first movie.
Yeah.
And it's got cool action scenes. This got some cool. I'll just say really quick one and I'll let you go. It's a 5. I gave the first movie a 5 and this movie has better action. So if I could, I'd give it a 6. The scene where they go into warp and that other ship like catches up with them and starts shooting at them in warp. And then the way they fall out of it, the whole visual of it, amazing. I love the way warp looks in this movie. They did that thing where it's like it gets like long and then it shoots and then it leaves these little space trail thing. Sick. Yeah. And that scene alone, I was just like, this is cool. See, this is when I watch an action movie, okay, I love, you know, there's quantity and quality. We've always talked about it for 300 episodes, but do something cool. Make me see something that is like, that's just cool. That scene and the scene on Klingon when Khan comes out with the one giant gun and the other gun. This is what I want. Yeah. So yeah, 5. It's a 5 for me. This movie has tons of action. And then the whole, like, honestly, the whole last 45 minutes feels like one big action scene with little tiny breaks because it's just nonstop after that.
This was a 5. The minute you saw the captains get all together and they started to shoot up the joint and Pike died, I said, oh my God. And people got to understand, Christopher Pike's death is not what you saw in this movie. In the TV show, he had that melted fucking face from the thing. That's how he gave the chair to Captain Kirk in that whole situation. But yeah, in this one, awesome. The awesome way to get the revenge. You had that. And then, oh my God, even the beginning of the movie, that big explosion with that little ass ring that it went in the water and it went whoosh, boom.
Yeah.
I said, I loved it. That was crazy. You had that scene, the scene that you talk about, the warp with the Vengeance. I think it was called the Avenger or whatever the hell stupid ship is called.
Dreadnought class ship.
Yeah, that thing is freaking amazing looking. I have a Christmas tree ornament of that. It thing is awesome.
It's like a big black version of the Enterprise,
but sexier.
Sick.
Oh, yeah, it's so dope. But anyway, that scene is really good. Even when it started to shoot the Enterprise, hitting every hull, and you see dudes blowing out, and he's
and
just
the scene
like,
where they shoot out of the airlock thing, and they're in the that scene is great.
That was a really good scene too.
I like the way it had the path on the display.
When your boy Scotty's running that long corridor.
Oh yeah. That was funny.
He said, "What do you want me to do?" And he starts running. But yeah, you had that scene. A lot of big scenes. Oh, even the when they lost the anti-gravity pull thing and they're falling into Earth and they're like, whoa, I don't know, dude. Like, it was really, like, you really felt you were in the ship. Like, even when they were running around and the cameras are rotating.
Oh, yeah. I love that part.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I watched the making of. Normally, I don't watch makings of and stuff. This one I did. Almost this entire movie was practical.
That's
like, they
sets,
built,
right?
Yeah, they put, yeah. So what they did was they did the bridge was connected to the medical bay, was connected to the hallway where they run and everything. Mm-hmm. Because they said it was so much, J.J. Abrams rented out a bigger studio so they could film everything to make it feel like the TV show. And the camera rotating was, they used that trick from the old
the
Star
room
Trek.
Rotate.
Yeah. And then they built a corridor that it was sideways. So when you see them running on the thing and jump, that was really them running and then they jump. And I was just like, that is pretty sick. I was like, you know what? I miss practical stuff. Now it would have been the CGI wall and then running through and
CGI people.
Yeah, and then you see the wire work, the guys are pulling on the wire, and you see the girls like sliding and they're trying to grab her.
Oh,
and
even he's even the like, chase oh, scene cool. on Earth with when Spock oh, is Spock! Chasing at-
the Tom Cruise scene, bro, when he's just jetting, they both running and the ass moving, whooping,
like, moving flying space cars.
Sick. Dude, the ass whipping Spock gives Khan. Oh Lord, when he got on top of him, remember? Oh my God,
bro, the last punch is like the uppercut from hell. He just like
yeah.
He could like, save oh
Kurt, and he just looked at him and he said, "Oh, are you kidding?"
I snapped my remote in half when he uppercutted him. I was like, give it to him. It was great.
Yeah, I mean that whole scene played out so well. I mean, even when he hit him with the Vulcan grip, and he's just
he said, bites it. Yeah,
that was good. It felt like a wrestling. He's all like a submission. Yeah. The Vulcan claw.
The Vulcan nerve pinch.
Now, anyway, yeah, action is spectacular in this movie. Yeah, five across the board here. Yeah. Okay, let's see where you go here. Storyline. Okay.
I do have some problems. It's not going to be all glowing.
Okay.
I will say, I think, especially compared to the first, I think the first movie has a way better story overall. I think it's tighter. I think it's better. I think it's more interesting. This one feels more like an action film than the first movie. And not in a bad way. We're an action podcast, so I'm fine with it. I think they're both entertaining. But this one went more for thrills than story. Because I agree with you 1,000,000%. It's what I saved for here. I do not like the healing blood thing. Because it ruins the moment between where they flip the Kirk and Spock thing from the original movie. Now, I hadn't seen that original movie. Watching it back, I was like, that's a pretty clever... I like that as like an homage. Like, oh, you know, Spock died and Kirk was like... Yeah. And now they flipped it. Kirk is the one, and then Spock is the one who's like, Khan! So I like that, but it ruins it because you know they're going to give him the blood. They're like, oh, this guy got magic healing blood. They're going to put it. And I agree with you. I think that was a bad choice. I think they should have found another way. Do something else. Either find another way or don't do that. Don't do the reversal. Oh, sorry. Don't do the reversal thing. Just make a different sort of scenario. So I didn't love that. Also, there was a few parts that was like, I don't know, like the middle of the movie. I think the beginning is great. And I think the end is great. I think the middle is like, okay. Like it's good. It's good. Not okay. It's good. But like, it's just, there's a few parts that are like kind of, they drag out a little bit in the middle, like from when they get Khan until they start helping him. There's a little block there where it's like, this is good. I'm still enjoying it. But then it gets like ramped up. So I still gave it a 4. But I think that blood thing is enough for me to knock off, just on its own, is enough for me to knock off a point. Because you're right. It takes away the fear of one of your characters dying. And I don't think that that's a smart move. That needs to exist. Even if they don't die, even if you find a way to fix them, it can't be that's introduced at the very beginning of the movie where it's in your head the whole rest of the time. So that for that, I gave it a 4.
Okay. So this movie, I gave it a 4. I think it's a great film. I have a lot of problems with this movie too. I hated the blood. You already said it. I mean, there's a lot of things that you said that I totally agree 100%. That blood situation shit is the dumbest idea. Whatever. It is what it is. The thing I do understand what you mean in terms of the switching of the Rafa Khan's ending with, you know, Kurt to Spock and back and forth. I think this movie was too soon for this type of movie. Because that's a legendary part of Star Trek, is that whole God when Spock is dead and you feel for that shit. I think this plot would be so perfect for the third film. This, I'm telling you, if you would have put this plot line or you would have did this Khan movie Into Darkness as the third film into the end, I think it would have been perfect. Because you'd be like, you know what? We got two sequels in. Yeah. Now you're introducing one of the best villains, you know, Star Trek has put on screen, and you maybe could have did a Klingon in the second one, or you could have did Henry Mudd would have been another good one too. But they didn't. They decided to do it as a sequel. So I was like, I guess to mirror the Rafa Khan, I guess that's what you want to go with, because it's an alternate version of it. Fine. My heart hurt, bro. Like watching it the first time, I was just like, this is so fucking dumb. I already saw this already. Watching it now, I was just like, my heart hurt, because I was like, damn. Because in the whole beginning of the movie, he wanted him to say that they were friends and best friends. And now he's at the end of his deathbed. Now he's just like, you can see how hurt Spock was if it wasn't for the fact that he did mind melt with Christopher Pike at the last second of his when before he died, how scared he was. So it was just like, holy hell. So I was a little annoyed with it, but you know what? Watching it now as an alternate time, I enjoyed it a lot. I said, yo, this is actually really cool how he knocked out Scotty. He was like, I'm not letting you go in here. I'm going to do this myself because he is the captain. So he was just like, the ship and him is one. So he knocked him out. Like, I liked even that warp core scene was dope. Him kicking it. And then when it blew off, he blew back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man. I was like, damn, that was actually pretty cool. Now, in terms of everything leading up to it, I did like a little bit where you talking about like the whole, that whole block the in the middle act. Where he's talking to, when he's talking to Khan and he's like, who are you and why you murdered all these people and all this. I agree with you. I think if they would have just not stretched it much, just give it to us right there and then and say I'm Khan, because they waited 2-3 to 4 scenes later to say I'm Khan. Like, he was like, I saw you, you were in the database. He's like, I'm not in the database. Yeah. I am this, this, and that. And I agree with you on that. The 72 ship thing, I thought it was very clever putting the humans in the torpedo. I didn't know there was them torpedoes. I was like, holy shit. I thought that was cool for storytelling. The Klingons did not look good to me in this movie. It could be me.
They have like piercings or something.
I didn't like that. I like the old school, call me old school nostalgia. They could have took that and hooked it up a little bit. Though TV show looks way better in terms of the Klingons. Honestly, and the story wasn't that bad. I liked the story.
Oh, it's good, yeah.
I thought, I agree. It's not a perfect storyline, but if you really think about it, it's kind of perfect. Like, it is great to us. If you take away those little nitpicks or whatever, in reality, it is a perfect sequel. In that what you want in a sequel, it's very action and very heavy action in this this one. It's not much of an exploration movie as a Star Trek is. This one's more of a revenge slash actually two revenge stories, right? Yeah. If you think about it, right? Kirk because of Christopher Pike and then Khan for his people because he wants to kill the Admiral.
Yeah.
So he's just like, wait a minute. So it's like two revenge stories in one, two villains, two different mindset. One wants to start a war with the Klingons to be this power throne, look as a god, while the other guy is just like, I just want to take my people and take the planets hostage. Like, yeah. He's like, that's what I want to do. And then to end it all off, I'll say this, perfect way to use Leonard Nimoy again, calling him and like, how did you defeat Khan? And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, this is so cool. I'm glad
they
didn't
show what he said. He's like, it was at great cost. And how'd you do it? And then they cut away. And I
liked
that.
It was cool. So I like the way they did that. So 4 across the board here. Okay, yeah, overall.
So I had a tough time here. I think it's a great sequel. I think it is a great sequel. I think it actually is slightly more
better,
thrilling. Okay. No, just thrilling than I remember. Like, I remember liking it, but I was like, man, this is like a really, it is way more action heavy than the first. The first has such a, like, just a super clever storyline. I don't think there's anything in this movie that's, I would consider clever. And it does feel more like an action movie than, like you said, like a Star Trek exploration. Literally the beginning scene is the only one that feels like Star Trek when they're on that planet and they're trying to like
funny.
Stop it. Yeah. Like that one feels like, you know, and they're trying to freeze the volcano and they're not supposed to, blah, blah, blah. And you know what's funny? When I was watching this movie, I forgot that that was the opening scene. In my head, I thought the opening scene was the black guy with the daughter, with Khan. I thought that's how the movie opened. It's actually the second scene of the movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a second. I remember this part, but I thought it was later, and I thought the other one was flip-flop. So I don't know. Whatever. I just thought that was a little funny story. Yeah, I don't like that. That thing holds it back just enough. I gave it a 4.5. A 4.5. I think it's almost a 5. The story issue are enough to punch little holes in it for me, but it's damn near a 5. I mean, and it's got 3 other 5s, so I feel pretty comfortable with my 4.5. I think it's not quite as good as the first one, but it ain't far off. We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, I'm giving this a 5. I had to give this a 5, and this is the reason why. And I know a lot of people can be like, really? Watching this as a, in terms of Star Trek, it gave you everything Star Trek. I think it gave you even, and you could even say, I don't care what people say, you could put this up against all the Star Trek movies that came out, and this movie alone would be way better than half the original stuff and the Next Generation. Even better than the Borg stuff, if you really want to put it. I think the second movie of that whole Next Generation, I mean, we're going to tackle it here, but I feel like this could hold its own. Actually, the first two movies could hold its own with the other movies that came before it. I like this movie a lot, and I saw it again. So I saw this on Sunday, right? And the kids were yapping and yapping. everything happened. I said, oh my God. So I had to like pause and play. On Monday, I told my wife, I said, we're watching this shit again. Cause I liked it a lot. I said, you know what? I want to see it again just to give it a little, see if I didn't screw myself up. Yes. And you know what? At the end of everything, I said, this movie is just a damn perfect sequel for a Star Trek movie. Cause they could have did it any other way, like I said, but they didn't. They went straight action route and I loved it. I wish we got more ship battles. I mean, it would have been so much dope if the Enterprise decided to destroy it, but they did the same thing with the, you know, teleporting a bomb into it, which I thought was genius of Spock because he never would have done it anyway with the influence of Kirk. So I like that stuff. I don't know, man. I think this is a really perfect sequel in my eyes. I think the first two movies is just a juggernaut, a sci-fi action in one.
I'll one-up you because I have now seen all the movies. I've seen them all.
Ooh.
The one we did last week, that Star Trek
2009
is the best Star Trek movie. It is the best Star Trek movie
out of all
13.
Wow.
It is the best overall Star Trek movie. All the other ones, there's good ones. The old ones, there's good ones, but there's flaws. There's some parts that are kind of boring. There's some of the villains are not that great. The storyline is the first J.J. Abrams is the most complete great film out of all the Star Trek. I'll say it so you don't have to. It's the best one. And this one, I'll agree with you, is you can put this one up against almost all the other ones as well. And it's right there. If not better, close. Take your pick. And I know there's fans of the Next Generation show, and there's fans of the old show, fans of the movie, and that's great. And if they don't agree with me, that's fine. As someone, I'm a movie watcher, and as someone who's seen all the movies, that one's the best one. The best Star Trek. So there you go. Nate said it. Put it down on your
Nate piece of paper. Said it. 2009 is the best ever. It is the best. Put together. It is
the best overall Star Trek.
All right. Nate, what is your total point?
23 and a half. 23 and a half out of 20. I didn't see that coming. And I was like, I remember liking this movie, but I think I remember something annoyed me. And it still did, but the villain, I loved him. The action is, I forgot how tremendous the action was. That carried it over the top. 23 and a half.
Well, let me just tell you, in the beginning, this movie was at a 19 out of a 25 in my eyes.
This villain sucks.
I was like, this stupid ass regurgitating storylines, you lazy ass writers. Mm-hmm. Not this time. Mm. I saw the Star Trek light. Yeah. And I said, oh my God, this movie's amazing. I gave this a 24 out of a 25. It is a tie with the first one to me. Now, the first one will always, to me, will be way better than Into Darkness. I hands down agree with you in this.
The writing is so good.
That's where it goes up in my eyes. But this is a perfect sequel. All right, Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, so next up, we're continuing on with Van Damme Month. This will be a movie called Universal Soldier, another 90s movie. Going back a little bit, I think this was 1992. So we'll be doing some Universal Soldier, and then we're wrapping up Star Trek, the third movie. No more J.J. Abrams. Justin Lin came in to direct. I remember liking this movie quite a bit when I saw this one at the theater as well. So we're going to be doing a little Star Trek Beyond. Now, I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember Simon Pegg wrote it. I know that. So got a couple different things going on in this movie, and we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, look, in terms of, I'll give you a little blur here. Star Trek Beyond, I remember coming out of this theater going, this is a Star Trek movie that felt like the original TV show.
That's what I heard. I remember people being like, this feels the most Star Trek out of the three movies.
Yeah, I remember coming out going, this is the best like Star Trek motion picture. Like you took an episode and you throw it up into 2 hours. This is what you got is Star Trek Beyond. Yeah. So I kind of liked it. I loved it. I hope we got a part four with Justin Lin because I think he was a Star Trek fan. I remember watching like blurs and stuff. I remember him saying that he was a fan that grew up and everything. And you could see that he put so much attention.
He directed it well. It fits in with the Abrams movies. It doesn't feel like way different. Like someone totally different made it.
Exactly. It didn't feel like a different tone in visuals. It looked like it just continued on what J.J. Abrams did. So I kind of like that. I thought it worked. But can't wait to sit down and rewatch and see my thoughts and what numbers is going to end up here. But can we get a perfect trilogy in terms of, can Beyond put the final stamp and put this in the Mount Rushmore of perfect franchise with the Planet of the Apes? Does it go up there? Nate, are we going to hoist the flag of Star Trek coming next week? Are we going to do it?
I'm putting it up already. I mean, I haven't seen Beyond, but I'm putting it up already.
Oh, man, are we going to hoist the flag next week? Is this going to go into the Mount Rushmore of franchises of three films? Is going to be up there with the greats of the Planet of the Apes?
With Caesar.
With Caesar.
Does Captain Kirk get his head chiseled into a mountain next to Caesar's. We'll find out next week.
Yes. All right, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, Nate goes live with his friends on Netflix Reviews on Instagram. Now, in terms of action movie guys, head over to Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Now we are live, not live, but now we are on YouTube Music. That's right. So you guys can listen to all 338 episodes of the Action Movie Guys podcast over on YouTube Music, or you can check it out our website at www.youtube.com/@actionmovieguys. That you can subscribe there. So every time new episodes drop, you guys can listen to it right off the app. Or of course, you guys can listen to us on the go also on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, Action Movie Guys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.